Coming up on today's show.
I'm questioning. I don't know what to believe. And he turned to me very soft and he said, Mark, question everything. That's how your faith will get stronger.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. Be sure that you have signed up there for the free Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out each Monday morning. While you are there, look at the top of the website. You'll see social media links, logos for this show, meaning Facebook, Twitter, or X as it's now called, Instagram, and YouTube, so that you can engage with me and the show that way. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group consisting of listeners of this show and some past guests. That is free to join, and you can also find a link for that, too, on catholicsportsradio.net. I love hearing from listeners, and so social media as well as the website all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. I'm not sure when or why it became a lower profile occurrence, because there seems to be very little fanfare anymore these days for when a team captain is named, along with the alternates. When I was a kid, following your favorite sports team, especially hockey, included waiting each season to hear who was going to be named the team captain. In other words, it actually was a big deal. And for the athlete himself, of course, it really symbolized a lot. It means they had worked hard enough. They had put in a lot of time, they had been successful, they gained the attention of the coaching staff, they demonstrated leadership, and the combination of all of these had informed the decision that they should be rewarded and, in a sense, at least from a player's perspective, come alongside their coach. As Catholic Christians, the one that we answer to, our Heavenly Father, is watching what we are doing with the gifts He has blessed us with, and we can and will know His blessings by being wise in utilizing what we have been given from Him. I'm thinking of the parable of the talents in Matthew's Gospel, and specifically chapter 25, verse 23, which says, quote, "His master said to him, 'Well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you were faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibilities. Come, share your master's joy.'" Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest has played sports his whole life. He was captain, all-star, and MVP of his high school baseball team and a starter on their varsity basketball team. Collegiately, he attended Notre Dame and played in the bookstore basketball tournament all 4 years that he was in college. After high school, he had continued to play in a variety of sports into his middle age, including softball, tennis, golf, and basketball across multiple leagues. Present day, he continues his exercise in the form of walking, yoga, stretching, and calisthenics. He also has been an avid sports fan his whole life, and he has created a free downloadable publication called Find Your True Purpose, a simple workbook to help you connect your gift to your work. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Mark Aylward.
Well, thank you, Bruce. I'm very happy to be here. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely, absolutely. You and I exchanged a good number of emails in the lead up to today, yet I don't even know that we covered this. So where were you born and raised, and what was the family size growing up?
So I was born in a town called Norwood, Massachusetts, right outside of Boston, and very shortly thereafter moved to a town where I spent my entire childhood, which is Winchester, Massachusetts. And we were a family of four kids, three boys and a girl, and I was the second eldest, a middle child.
Okay. And Mark, not only were you born into a Catholic household, but wow, your dad, two uncles, one of your aunts, we're talking about a very Catholic family. Explain to the audience what I'm referring to and why I'm going out of my way to mention those specific family members.
Yeah, so my dad is, he's 95 now and still in great shape, goes to Mass every day, opens up the church every day, is a Eucharistic minister and says his rosary a couple times a day, and he reads the Bible a few times a day. So he's quite an example for me.
Wow.
And he came from a family of 11, and two of my uncles were priests and one of my aunts was a nun who eventually left the church, not left Catholicism, she left the church with a priest in her parish, and they got married and spent the rest of their lives together as practicing Catholics. So I've seen this thing from a number of different angles.
Including you were sent to Catholic school, yes?
Yeah, well, my older brother and I were very close, and we were 18 months apart. All of us were 18 months apart, and being a Catholic family. And he was in some of my classes because I was in advanced classes, and he really didn't apply himself until later on in life. And then when he did, he really applied himself. But he was mischievous, and he got in trouble a lot, and I was always by his side, you know, whether it was melting crayons on the radiators or hiding under the teacher's desk when everyone else went out to recess, or, you know, throwing balls inside. We had an open classroom in the school we were. They don't do that anymore because it wasn't an effective experiment. But I remember the principal's name, Mr. Forrest, pulling my father in and sitting down with us and saying, I think it would be better if Mark and Jim went to a place with more discipline. And we were in Catholic school the next year.
Wow.
It was a good move because we did. We got a lot of discipline, and I can only imagine how challenging school would have been for me if we never made that transition. You know?
Interesting. We're going to come back to your faith because, folks, despite everything you just heard, all those family members and then the school story, Mark actually stopped going to Mass regularly at one point. But before we get into that, Mark, sports-wise, you were definitely all in, at least with baseball and basketball for sure, as we heard in the intro. Did your older brother get you into sports, or was it maybe your dad, or did you just see something in sports yourself that made you want to get involved in playing competitively?
I don't remember looking to my brother as a sports role model. We were just close with everything. And my dad was a baseball guy. He threw peanuts as a boy in Fenway Park way back in the day. And I was raised on the science of hitting by Ted Williams. Mm. And I was playing when I was like six. And between 6 and 12, I was the best player in town. And then everyone else hit puberty, and I didn't yet. So that was an interesting confidence punch. But yeah, my brother played. We played on the same teams growing up. We were, you know, undefeated for 3 years in a row in Little League when my father was the coach.
Whoa.
And then he couldn't coach after that because as soon as you got into middle school in Winchester, you had to be a member of the school, so a teacher more or less, which the caliber of coaching went down dramatically.
Hmm. Interesting. And baseball and basketball, were those, quote unquote, the only two sports that you played, or were there others?
I played everything. You know, we played hockey. Most of my friends played hockey. I didn't play in a league, but we played on the ponds. I skied. I played tennis. I didn't run into golf until I was a teenager. And, you know, throwing frisbees, playing football in the side yard. You name it. We were outside running around the whole time. I think that was a generational thing. We all were.
Wow.
And then when I discovered I was a pretty good athlete, you know, it made it more attractive to me. But I didn't start playing basketball until I was a junior in high school.
Wow. Well, after high school, you went to Notre Dame, albeit not for sports. Yet, despite being at Notre Dame of all places, your faith dropped off.
It did. Yeah, you know, 17 years old, I mean, I didn't have my act together. I don't know that many of us do at that age, but it wasn't doing anything for me. I, you know, discovered all these other things. I went from a high school where I was, you know, number 17 in my class to a place where I felt like I was the dumbest guy on campus. Mm. So there was a lot of work to do, but it was a wonderful experience. I certainly got the whole Catholic environment, culture, vibe. You know, professors talked about it openly. There were events, Catholic events all the time, everywhere. But I never got the Mass schedule consistently down. I just dropped off.
And what about this bookstore basketball tournament that you did all 4 years that you were in college?
So that is, if you don't know what about the bookstore basketball tournament, they wrote an article about it in Sports Illustrated in the 70s. It's about a 500 team, five people on a team tournament.
Whoa.
And anybody can play. You can only have one varsity basketball player on a team, and you can only have three varsity athletes. And so my team had three guys from the football team that were exceptional athletes, and me and another friend of mine who was a track guy in high school. And we got to the final 16 a couple of times. And when you get to the final 16, you're literally playing against professional athletes.
Whoa.
Or soon to be professional athletes. And I got tossed around by a couple of guys that ended up being the tight ends and the pros. And but it was spectacular, the caliber. And the thing about it is, though, it's a madhouse on the campus. Everybody goes to the games. And by the time you get to the final 64, 32, 16, it's Division I basketball. And people go crazy. There are no referees for the first few rounds, and first games typically played in the snow. And if one of you got hurt, you played with four. Mm. There were no substitutes. So it was rough and tumble, and there were some really talented athletes playing it.
Wow. I'm glad you told that story. I was not familiar with that, so I was just as curious as probably a lot of the folks in the audience. And to hear that it was written up in Sports Illustrated tells you that it was a big deal. Now, audience, having just heard what we did from Mark before the basketball question, talking about going to Notre Dame and that he stopped going to Mass regularly, there are two great stories that Mark has that I would like him to share. But Mark, let's do these separately. First, tell us about your having started going to Mass again about 5 years ago.
Yeah, so I was tasked with raising my children after a very contentious divorce. I won sole custody of them years ago. And after my last child left the roost, I was faced with, you know, the classic empty nest syndrome. And there was a huge vacuum and a dark cloud. I was not prepared for it at all because the nature of my fatherhood was so intense. I took them everywhere. I went to all their games. I met with all their teachers. I worked from gymnasiums and dance recital studios. And all of a sudden, one day, I'm driving home from dropping off my daughter in New York City, not anticipating what's going to happen when I walk through the front door. The only buddy I had left was my dog, who's since passed. So I did some self-reflection, and I thought, you know, this can go two ways. This can go bad and sinful, or this could be a really good opportunity to reconnect with God. And so I did a few things. I went around looking for churches, and there's plenty of them here in the greater Orlando area. And I was very specific. I wanted upbeat. I wanted lots of flowers and sunshine. I wanted a priest or priests that had senses of humor. And as you well know, Bruce, I'm sure that you can, it runs the gamut. You can have a stoic, boring, to the letter presenter of a homily, or you can have someone who really wants to engage the audience. And that resonated with me. So I found a place, St. Charles down the road, where the priests were both very good storytellers. They both enjoyed using humor. And the place was really bright. People were smiling. And it really resonated me. When I got back, when I went to Mass the first time, I felt so many emotions. I felt guilty. I felt at home. I felt relieved. I remember it to this day. And then I started going for a while. And I get a prayer every morning from Notre Dame in my email that is the homily of that day, the reading of that day, plus an interpretation from somebody associated with the university. So between church and that exercise there and just more praying and more reaching up and connecting with God on a regular basis, it's had a massively positive impact on my life.
So just so we're clear, does that mean that you had not stepped foot in a church in years? You didn't bring the kids to church? Or is it, I went once in a while?
No, I got all three of my kids were baptized by my uncle.
Yeah, that's right.
And then my eldest daughter got first communion. And then things fell apart. I never, even though my wife, who was Irish and raised Catholic, kinda, they called themselves Catholic, but they weren't really practicing the faith. And it became a battle, and I gave up. I couldn't get it done. And then the whole thing just tumbled. The whole house of cards fell. I regret that, but I also don't think there was anything I could have done about it, given the circumstances.
Folks, have you ever heard when a priest will talk about someone coming to confession for the first time in years and years and years? I don't want to say I have doubts when I hear a priest say that. You know, Is that really just a ploy to nudge people to finally participate in the Sacrament of Reconciliation? But it does seem quite far-fetched sometimes when you'll hear that priest say an exact number of years that a confessor tells him it has been since they last went through it. Well, Mark actually has one of those stories which he's going to share with us, although I do want to make sure to take a moment first to welcome and thank anyone new who has recently discovered Catholic Sports Radio as a result of the show now being available on the YouTube Music app, as well as on YouTube itself. Just to be clear, if you were not aware that Catholic Sports Radio recently got added to YouTube, it's still just audio only, no video. But as I mentioned 2 weeks ago during episode 268, which, by the way, if you didn't hear that one, wow, we heard the powerful story of Terry Tucker, who essentially was given a rare cancer diagnosis that sounded like he maybe had 2 years left to live and has resulted in a miracle of him still being alive 12 years later. Anyhow, on episode 268, I said then that getting added to YouTube is huge because of how they have really emerged as a major go-to source for podcast consumption. I'm also grateful to Hansel Tomaning, a listener out in California who is a former seminarian and heard my interview with Bonnie Jill Laughlin a few weeks ago on episode 266 and was kind enough to make a financial gift to my ministry. He and I ended up exchanging some nice emails after that, and I most appreciate his support, both his expression of encouragement as well as his monetary contribution. I do my best to report to you the expenses that I incur from operating Catholic Sports Radio, so you know what those financial contributions from guests and listeners go towards. And it occurred to me that I've never shared about the $14.23 recurring charge that Skype bills me for having a number that guests who aren't Skype users can dial into. That's how Mark is talking to me right now. So please bear that one in mind too, in addition to the countless other expenses that I've given examples of over many, many past episodes of this show. Again, I am just a one-person operation doing this all by myself and on my own time, meaning it's neither my full nor my part-time job. And since I don't get any income from doing this show, nor do I have any sponsors, any and all costs, unfortunately, have to come out of my own pocket. You can help me by way of the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. That is fast, safe, easy, secure, and just so convenient. It will allow you to use a credit or debit card or even PayPal to send whatever amount you decide you're comfortable with. You just type in a number yourself and send it. Alternatively, as some folks have opted to do, you can get in touch with me about sending a check through the mail. Contact me through the website or through social media, or just email me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will email you back with the details on sending something that way. Regardless of which method you use, the blue Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net or sending a check, with your permission, I will happily say your name on the air as a public thanks, just like I'm doing on this episode with Hansel Tomaning. Or, as some have asked me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. I'm grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Mark, before all that, I was saying that you went back to confession about 4 years ago for the, I'm not going to steal your thunder, for the first time in, tell the audience how many years and the story surrounding that.
Yeah, it's 30 to 35. You know, I went a couple times when I was still taking the kids to church, but that stopped early. And so, yeah, it's probably 35 years.
Wow. And what moved you to say, okay, now that I'm going back to church, I'm going to go to confession also?
You know, one of my favorite things that I've ever heard one of the priests say is, you know, the one thing that we all have in common here is we're all sinners. Mm. It just resonated with me. And I don't know if that comment made me think, or I had just been thinking to myself, you know, if you're going to do this, if you're going to get back in, just jump in. And I felt some guilt that as soon as you think to yourself, I haven't gone to confession in a long time, you feel some guilt, or at least I did. So I thought about it, and then a couple of Sundays went by, and the particular priest who I most resonated with was walking out the door, and I tapped him on the shoulder and I said, Father, can I ask you a question? And he said, sure. And I said, when do you do confessions? And he looked at me and he smirked and he goes, how about right now?
Ooh.
And I'm like, okay.
Wow.
Then I got a little scared. I got a little angry. But he's a very pleasant man. And he put his purple sash on and he said, come on outside. There's a shade tree out there. That's quite a pleasant place to do this. And we walked outside and I had no idea what to expect. I had forgotten all the protocols. I didn't know what to say or what to ask.
Yeah.
And I said that to him. I said, Father, I apologize. I don't know what to do. And he's like, Mark, I've been hearing confessions for 40 years. You're not going to be telling me anything I haven't heard already 100 times. So don't worry about it, which I thought was really nice. It really took a load off of me. You know, and so he said some things in Latin and he touched me cross-handed on the shoulders and my forehead. And he said, I want you to say 3 Hail Marys before the end of the day. And I thought to myself, boy, that's getting off easy. I can't describe the emotion, Bruce. And I went to shake his hand and he pushed my hand aside. No, we hug. And he hugged me. Mm. And I'm getting emotional telling you the story right now. It's I call my kids, I call my dad, I call my uncle, and sorry. My feet were off the ground. I was in the clouds for like days. So it was pretty special. I've been back a few times since then, and it's almost as special.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Wow, yeah. And folks, we all know the feeling of that massive weight being lifted off our shoulders and just, oh, the powerful rebirth that Mark is describing and just the beautiful experience walking away, having gone through what you just went through. And God bless you, Mark. That's clearly, clearly a hallmark moment for you and something that, as we can tell by the emotions, something that truly, truly touched you for an ongoing experience and not something that you went home, you watch TV, and you forget about it the next day. So God bless you, and it's great to hear that that happened 4 years ago and you have been back since.
Yeah, thank you, Bruce. I appreciate that. It's wonderful.
In the lead up to today, you told me, quote, I am guided by my father's Catholic influence and the structure I learned as a kid, end quote. And you went on to cite a couple things he said to you about strengthening your faith and making you go to church. Can you share that with the audience?
I approached him, I think I was probably 17. It was before I went off to college. Maybe it was 15 or 16. It's difficult to remember exact dates, things like this far into the future, but I said, Dad, you know, I don't, and I thought he was going to get really mad at me. And cause I said something like, I don't know about this, Dad, you know, this guy in the sky and the woman, you know, having a baby and without having sex and, you know, all these visions. And I'm questioning that. I don't know what to believe. And he turned to me very soft and he said, Mark, question everything. That's how your faith will get stronger. Mm. And I was like, I couldn't believe he said that. Of course, he's correct, you know. And I've told that story a million times since then. And the other thing he said to me one morning, we went to the 10:15 Mass pretty regularly. And then after Mass, we go to the bakery and get some stuff to eat at home with coffee. And one morning, and I God bless my father, I don't know how many times I whined at him in the morning when he came to get me out of bed, hundreds of times. And he didn't give up. He never gave up. We all went to church, and every Sunday and every Holy Day for 17 years. That leaves a mark, and I mean that in a very positive fashion. But he said, Mark, I understand you're tired, you're frustrated, you don't see the value in this, but when you get out there in the world and become an adult, I just want you to have something to come back to. And boy, was he right.
Yeah, I'll say it was very prophetic at the time, after we heard the testimony that you gave in the first half of the show. My gosh.
Yeah. He's a special guy. He's a saintly man.
I mentioned back in the intro about your having created a free downloadable publication called Find Your True Purpose, a simple workbook to help you connect your gift to your work. I might be wishing this to be the case, but is that in fact spiritually influenced?
Yeah, I mean, everything I do is spiritually influenced. And, you know, I'm very thankful to God as often as I can be. That was triggered by a professional circumstance. And I spent my entire life in the staffing space. So I helped people find jobs and then started my own business. And I was teaching leadership. I was teaching people how to be more productive and be better people. And that was kind of my thing. And when I taught my children how to get work, and then I helped them start their own companies. All three of them said to me, "Dad, I don't think you're aware of how valuable the information you have is, and I think you need to figure out a way to get this in the hands of more people, because everyone needs this stuff and no one else is teaching it." And so I took that to heart, and I started coaching. I started career coaching and leadership coaching and professional development coaching to help anybody who's stuck get to where they want to go. And what I discovered was most of these people don't know where they want to go. They don't know what they should be doing. They don't know why God put them on this earth, because no one's ever given them any direction, you know, because not everybody's Catholic, not everybody's Christian.
Yeah.
So having these discussions with people, the first thing I would start talking about is, you know, what do you do? And most people struggle to articulate that. So that's another question. Expand on that, go deeper, you know, give me some context. And then it's like, well, why are you doing that? And almost nobody can answer that question. You know, 90% of the people that I was encountering in the professional space. So I thought, the way to get them to their purpose is a series of logical questions that if I shared all of them with you in hindsight, you go, oh, that makes perfect sense. And maybe why didn't I think of that? It's a self-reflection process, basically. And that's a difficult thing for people to do. So I figured rather than have this conversation or just to have this conversation, let me give this resource out to the world. And maybe that's all you need. Because once you get some idea of what you're on this earth for, like, what are you good at? What are you good at enough that you could teach it to someone else? What are you good at that you would do even if you didn't receive money, like you in this podcast, right? And then how do we figure out a way to monetize that? And then, you know, if you can get them there, then it becomes a tactical thing. That's the strategy part. So I created this book. I think it's about 12 pages, and there's seven concrete questions, and I tell people it's a very simple document to use, but it's a very difficult exercise. So put yourself in silence, turn off your phone, give yourself a couple hours, and put your heart into this exercise. And most of the people that do that, some people don't, some people aren't willing to do it, they're not ready yet. Most of the people that do that come back to me and say, that was grueling, but it was awesome. So,
and audience, I am going to put a link on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net to Mark's website so that you can go and look for that. As I said, it is free to download from there. You mentioned the word exercise a couple of times, Mark, and way back when I first brought you on the show, I said he has played sports his whole life. Present day, you're walking, you're doing yoga, stretching, calisthenics, and I believe rooting for Boston sports teams. Yes to all the above?
Yes. When I was a kid, the Bruins did well, the Celtics did well, but the Patriots are horrible, and the Red Sox were horrible. They'd get to the end and lose every time. And then I become an adult, and starting, I think, in 2000 with Tom Brady, and then the Red Sox in 2004, I've been on a good run.
But the Celtics and not the Orlando Magic?
You know, the Magic, they have been really bad for a while. As soon as Shaquille O'Neal left a long time ago, things went downhill. And the other thing, selfishly speaking, I'm a pretty big guy. I'm 6'4", about 230. I can't fit in most of those seats. It's very uncomfortable. I'm a little claustrophobic. And I got a pretty nice TV that I can put on pause and get up and use the restroom and get something to drink. It's, it's a lazy choice, but nonetheless, it's my choice.
Let the record show that the Magic are finally having a terrific season, so...
They are. Yeah, they are. So I watched them with a friend of mine on TV the other night. I didn't know any of the players, and I thought, I'm going to start following these guys again. They look like they know what's going on.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised that the walking, the yoga, the stretching, the calisthenics, I mean, as I mentioned, you have been a lifelong athlete. I said that you had played softball, tennis, golf, basketball, post-high school into middle age, so I'm not surprised to hear that present day you're doing those things.
Yeah, it's become much like my faith, you know, practicing my exercise and my breathing and my visualization and meditation and prayer, and then walking, getting out in the sun and exercising my lungs. When I miss a day or two, I can feel it. It's no different than when I miss a day of reading that prayer in the morning, which I almost never do. So, yeah, it's good stuff.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, let's close. You mentioned your kids a couple of times, but as a proud dad, go ahead and close us out by telling us about your kids.
Yeah, so I've got three. I've got two girls and a boy. The boy's the youngest, and he's a junior. And he's a musician, a very talented and creative musician. And my middle daughter is a gut health coach, has a thriving online business where she helps women. As a matter of fact, she had a woman come to her recently that had been trying to have a child for a couple of years. And if anybody out there has ever tried and not been able to have a child that really wanted a child, it's a very, very difficult burden to carry. So she happened upon my daughter's site, and she did the diagnostic work, which is stool samples and blood work. And then she came back with a protocol that she put this woman on, and the woman came back, and I think it was 3 weeks with a positive pregnancy test.
Outstanding.
Yeah, she's doing good work. And then my eldest was a film major in college, and so she has a podcast production company and does some freelancing video production and documentary production, also very creative. And both of them played volleyball at a very high level in high school. Three state championships for my eldest in a row, and a United States championship club team for my middle daughter. So I had a, while I was running around, I was having a lot of fun watching them play.
And you said my son is a junior, presumably in college?
No, Mark Jr.
I see. He's a junior, meaning he's named the same as you.
Correct.
Got it.
Sorry
Got it.
To confuse you with that.
Well, Mark Sr., great to meet you, and thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah, Bruce, thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed it as well.
My pleasure. And folks, I realized that we hadn't done this prayer in really quite some time, so I'm glad that I dusted this one off. We're going to close today's episode with the prayer to play fair in the game of life. So let's do that now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord, in the struggle that goes on through life, we ask for a field that is fair, a chance that is equal with all the strife, the courage to strive and to dare, and if we should win, let it be by the code, with our faith and our honor held high, and if we should lose, let us stand by the road and cheer as the winners go by. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.